Thank you, Lord Jesus. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Closer we get to the end of the way, I think it means more and more every day, don't it? We look around and see the condition of the world and the condition of the church and the condition of many people that are in church and go to church. Certainly ought to place such a desire in our hearts to be ready more than ever before. So here we are dealing with the honeymoon, living in the middle of hell. Satan's Eden. But let us, if we can, be able to move beyond all of our troubles and our worries for just a little while. I found out many, many years ago about serving the Lord. It doesn't really take a long time to get into His presence to be able to change us. If we can just get there, just be able to let Him move in such a way, it can take away all of our burdens and our troubles. And I realize it's only momentarily sometimes, but yet His greatness is able to come in such a way. So we trust He'll do that tonight and help us. Let's turn, if you would, to Psalm 45. Psalm 45. As many of you Bible readers know, that several of the Psalms are messianic. Some of them are messianic in a prophetic way. Of Psalms 22, of course, my God, why hast thou forsaken me? But there are other Psalms that are kingdom messianic. So they're not talking about the Messiah coming the first time, but actually coming in Armageddon and setting up the kingdom in the millennium. It has been said that there are more scriptures that pertain to the doctrine of the millennium than any other doctrine in the Bible. Must be pretty important to God, isn't it? Psalm 45:1. Now, Psalm 45 actually portrays the Messiah's reunion with His family. It will be followed by three other psalms that we'll just see how far we get into it tonight, that are the triology, as it is called, which means three, of course, you know, that are entering into the triumphal entry of the millennium, of the defeat of Armageddon, and the setting up of the millennium kingdom. David was gifted by God to be able to, even though he wasn't a prophet like Jeremiah or one like Ezekiel, yet he was prophetic. But his prophecies were different. And God remembers veiling His word in the scripture here, that so that Satan won't be able to pick it up and read it like a newspaper, so he'll know what's going on exactly. And Psalms is certainly one of the most profound when it comes to that. As a matter of fact, if I'd have told you all to read Psalms 45, 46, 47, 48, 67, 72, 110, Wednesday night, and you'd probably come back and said, I didn't get nothing out of that. Well, you see, you've got to be anointed. You've got to be able to look at it in the right way. But after we look at it tonight, when you go back and read it, you'll say, wow, I've read that my whole life. That's the way the Lord does it, isn't it? So we will begin with the Messiah's reunion. And we will bring in the bride. We will come to the triumphal entry, to the coronation psalm. And then we will just see how far we go. Psalm 45, 1. To the chief musician, upon Shosh Hanim, for the sons of Korah, Maskew, a song of loves. My heart is inditing a good matter. I speak of the things which I have made, touching the king. My tongue is the pen of a ready writer. Thou art fairer than the children of men. Grace is poured into thy lips. Therefore God has blessed thee forever. Gird thy sword upon thy thigh, O most mighty, with thy glory and thy majesty. And may like to be remembered in prayer tonight. Lord Jesus, thank you for this great privilege that we've been given to us, Lord, that we could come together once again in the house of God. We thank you, Father, for the days that have gone by. We thank you for the revivals that have been, the moves of God that have been to our forefathers. But how grateful we are for our move. We are so grateful, Lord Jesus, for the evening light that has been given to us. We believe, Father, we're living in the very brink of the Gentile dispensation coming to its close. Therefore, as the people of God, as we look into prophecy, may we be able to find our destiny. For we know that we must find our place somewhere. Everybody is going to find their place. The Muslims will find theirs. The left will find theirs. The people on the right will find theirs. Everybody's going to find their place. So we pray, Father, that you would help us to find ours. The prophet said we must know what part of that husband that we are. So may you anoint us, Lord. Dear God, you see this prayer cloth I hold in my hand tonight. You know this urgent need. I do not know it, but Father, you know what it is. I pray, Heavenly Father, according to your great will, your wisdom, and your power, which can supersede anything Satan can ever do, would you move, Lord God, in a mighty way. Lord, we call upon you tonight. We pray that you'd go among us. Many needs were signified by the raising of the hands. Help us tonight, Lord. We ask in the name of the Lord Jesus. Amen. And the saints said,
amen.
God bless you, saints. You may be seated. Prophecy is a peculiar thing. Maybe some of you have spoken tongues and interpreted or been able by inspiration to prophesy of future events or of things that God was going to do. Any of you that have ever done that, you know that it was beyond yourself. It was beyond your knowing, beyond anything you could be able to conjure up in your mind or even think about trying to produce. And that would be something wonderful. We know that it is. I've experienced that myself several times, and it's wonderful whenever it comes upon you. Yet this type of prophecy, it would be similar but yet different in the way that God would move upon many of the prophets. They would actually act out part of the prophecy, as did Isaiah, Ezekiel. You imagine God speaking to the prophet, telling him to dig a hole in the wall, telling another to take some bread and lay the bread down beside him and lay on his side, one side for 200 and something days, and then turn over and lay on the other side and take cow dung and eat with his bread. Yeah, that's in your Bible. So these prophets, whenever they would be moved upon by the Spirit of God, it would have been very peculiar and very odd. And when it comes to David, David's channel of inspiration was different than Ezekiel, Jeremiah, Haggai, Malachi. David's was more in the form of psalms. Now, psalms are actually songs. And many of these words, when you read the very first verse of the psalm, it will tell you by whom it is written. It will tell you to whom it is written. And then some of it actually gives you musical cantations. Asaph, Maskil. different things in there about the music. So it would be as if though it was going to be sung. Now, probably David received many of these by himself. Maybe he was sitting in his harp and the Spirit of God would come upon him. And maybe just all of a sudden he just started singing this song, and it seemed really odd and maybe peculiar, and his wife would hear him, maybe the children, other people that would be around, and he would start singing, and all of a sudden these words would just start coming to him, and then maybe later David would be able to write it down, or some of them, no doubt he would take, whatever parchment or sheepskin that he had, and he would dip it in an ink well or whatever type that it was, and go to writing it down. But it came to him in a different way. And then David, once this song became real to him, then he would make it known to the sons of Korah. And they would begin to handle it out to the Levites or the Kohathites or the Cherethites, different types of singers as it was in the Old Testament. And I imagine that David, on some of it, even wondered what it meant himself as the inspiration would come. Probably many of them, he went to his grave, never quite understanding the full scope and the meaning of the inspiration. But yet God chose to deal with David in such a way. Now, as I said, there's many of the Psalms that are messianic. Messianic, speaking of the first advent of the Lord Jesus. But the several that we'd like to look at tonight and tomorrow are messianic, more so in the messianic kingdom of the millennium, which is our honeymoon. In the millennium kingdom, as we've looked at already, there's the bride, there are the Gentile nations, there is Israel as a nation, there will be the kings of the earth, there will be princes, there will be people in glorified bodies, there will be people in natural bodies, there will be a population explosion upon the earth. God will redo the earth, not quite in the eighth stage of it, but yet it will be redone enough to make the circumference of the earth being the same, but the landmass being different. So the earth will be so populated, and he will be the king over the entire earth. Oh, God, hasten the day. Now, when we look at this psalm, we know that this one is one of those by which the Spirit of God moves upon David. And it would seem as if so when David would go in and out of the inspiration. Part of the time, it's hard to know if he's talking about himself or is he talking about somebody else. As we'll look at another one of these psalms, it's actually addressed to Solomon, Shiloman, which is Hebrew. But yet it actually addresses Solomon in the very first verse, but it is beyond Solomon. It is the son of David, Adonai. It is more than just Solomon. So the natural reader without inspiration would read it and totally miss the whole coverage of what God had. And of course, God did it that way. So we see then by this psalm that it is the introduction of a great majestic appearance that is coming at a time whenever the earth must be changed. Notice in verse 4, "And in thy majesty ride prosperously because of truth and meekness and righteousness, and thy right hand shall teach thee terrible things." Now, we know then that this could not have applied to the first advent of our Lord, because he took upon him no reputation, which is kenosis, which means that he appeared as if in an empty form. or void of glory. And this was done, of course, on purpose, that it was actually the brightness of his image and the express image of his person, which is icon, or the word we use as character, which is a stamp or an insignia. As if God would have had a person by which could have been visible, the Lord Jesus was what that would have looked like. But remember, God is not a man. God is not a human being. God don't have eyes like yours, by the way. God don't have hair like ours. God does not have hands, toes, feet, and so on. God is a spirit, and God is invisible. But Jesus was the icon or the express image of his person. So all that God, if God would have wanted to become in a tangible form, when you would have looked at the Lord Jesus, that would have been what it was. Now, so his majesty was held back from the first advent because he's coming not to be identified as king under the messianic rule, but he's coming to be identified as king under the reign of the Son of God through the church ages. Now, he is already conquering right here tonight. That's right. He is the king of our hearts, is he not? He has absolutely brought many of you and people like you around the world subject to the kingdom of God. Lo, the kingdom of God, is within you. But now remember, the kingdom of heaven is when the millennium, when it will come down, the presence of God come down upon the earth. So the kingdom of heaven, the kingdom of God, the visible and the invisible will merge together in the millennium. Right now, it doesn't look like the kingdom of God, is anywhere to be found, because the kingdom of God is within the hearts of the saints. But in the millennium, it will be a literal, visible kingdom which will be made manifest upon the earth. Praise God. Notice now in verse 5, thine arrows are sharp in the heart of the king's enemies, whereby the people fall under thee. Thy throne, O God, is forever and ever. The scepter of thy kingdom is a right scepter. So whoever this psalm is being spoken to, how odd, how peculiar that it must have been. And these psalms that we're going to look at tonight and tomorrow, for David in the prophetic realm and all that he saw, it must have been wonderful no matter what he would have been prophesying about. But to think that God allowed this man to actually enter into a prophetic channel, that he would speak to his own son, which is going to live millennia years later, but yet his own son is actually his Lord. Praise God. But yet he's actually, by the Spirit of God, going to be allowed under prophecy to be able to speak to his own son. Psalms 110, verse 1, if you want to read when you go home. He will actually be allowed by the presence of God to enter into that channel. And even though the body of the Lord Jesus is not even existing yet in the form of humanity, but in the form of Logos, he is there. And David is allowed to be able to refer to him and be able to say, Jehovah said unto Adonai, the Lord said unto my Lord. So he was actually allowed to prophesy as Jehovah's vessel. Can you imagine what a feeling that through Jehovah, through David, was speaking to David's son, which was David's Lord. Praise be to God. Amen. Hallelujah. Now notice in verse 6 he said, thy throne, O God, is forever and ever. Thy scepter, the scepter of thy kingdom, is a right scepter. So we're dealing then with a king which has a kingdom and a throne and a scepter. You agree? Thou lovest loose righteousness and hatest wickedness. Therefore God, thy God, hath anointed thee with the oil of gladness above thy fellows. Now remember, we're not looking at two gods here. We're not looking at two separate people, because God is not a man. But God is spirit. God is light. God is invisible. So God, thy Father, hath anointed thee, the sonship. Amen. God hath anointed thee above thy fellows. But it's the same God all along. Now notice, thou lovest righteousness and hated wickedness. Therefore God, thy God, hath anointed thee with the oil of gladness above thy fellows. All thy garments smell of myrrh and aloes and cassia, out of the ivory palaces whereby they have made thee glad. So now we cannot be talking about David. We cannot be talking about Solomon. We cannot be talking about any other king. Now watch how that the uniting of the family after the crowning of the millennium king comes together, and then we see the bride as the bride appears. Actually, Psalm 45 is considered to be the Song of Solomon in the book of Psalms. Notice, king's daughters were among thy honorable women. Upon thy right hand did stand the queen. Now notice, here we come into view and we see that we're looking at the great king sitting upon his throne, but now we have someone else who comes in to view. Notice, upon thy right hand did stand the queen in gold of Ophir. So here now we see that the family has merged together in a kingdom reign. So this is not during the church ages, because he is indwelling inside of the queen, but now the queen is actually standing by him in a bodily presence, while he in a bodily presence sits upon the throne. Praise be to God. And they are brought together. What is it? The second Adam and the second Eve, with the real kingdom of God established upon the earth. Now then, David speaks to the bride. Hearken, O daughter, and consider and incline thine ear. Forget also thine own people and thy father's house. So shall the king greatly desire thy beauty, for he is thy Lord, and worship thou him. Oh my, you imagine that David is allowed to speak of the Christ, and he's allowed also to speak of the bride. Your God carries this man up. Now remember, he's the acting king at this time, and was so for 40 years. But God anoints him so far up into the future that he carries David plumb over into the millennium, where David is going to be vice regent to this great king. And yet he's able to see the king, and he's able to see the bride. The queen dressed there, as it were. Praise God, in the gold of Ophir. Now remember, when David and these prophets would see many of these things, they could only see and relate to what they knew. You know, the realm of vision, being the fourth dimension by which God would break the prophets into, must have been an absolute wonderful, phenomenal realm. But yet what them prophets would do, and they would be able to speak it, they could only speak it in the language that they knew. Look at the book of Ezekiel, and when Ezekiel saw much of his vision, he related much what he saw in the vision, but he identified it with the kingdom where he was living at the time. Same with Jeremiah. Same with Daniel. Daniel saw a great mountain, and he saw a rock, and he saw an image. Remember all that? God could have given them all heavenly metaphors to be able to speak it in, but he spoke it in earthly metaphors. What was it? A mountain, a stone, a king, a throne, a this or that or the other. So they would be able to write it down, and we would be able to comprehend it at least a little bit. If he hadn't, nobody would have understood it. So whenever David looks at it and he sees the bride standing there, and there must have been this dazzling array, this appearance about her, and the sun from the Son of God, of course, shining upon her. And David said, my, it looks like a woman standing there in the gold of Ophir. It looks like, what in the world? And they would relate as best as they could in natural terms of what they were seeing. Can you imagine John being caught up into the heavens and seeing things? Oh my. And he would relate it in the best that he knew how. Amen. Praise be to God. Notice this. So shall the king. Now watch David as he conveys it to the bride. So shall the king greatly desire thy beauty, for he is thy Lord. Worship thou him. And the daughter of Tyre shall there be with the gift. Even the rich among the people shall entreat thy favor. The king's daughter is all glorious within. Her clothing is of wrought gold. She shall be brought unto the king in raiment of needlework. This is you in the millennium. And you imagine whenever we're sitting there when the king is upon the throne. And my, hallelujah. When the earth has been burned with the atomic fire and the rejuvenation of the earth and the circumference of the earth has been brought into that spot of the grace of God is finally moving around the globe. Since the Garden of Eden, God has desired for it to be thus. And it will be thus. And all of a sudden the queen will be brought. And she will be brought before the great king himself. And she will be brought there. And the best way that David knew to identify it was the premier clothing of that day. Fine needlework. It wasn't made in China, friends. It wasn't made in Vietnam. It wasn't made in no third world country where they worked for hardly nothing. David said, it was some of the finest clothes I ever seen in my life. Let me tell you something. The Lord Jesus didn't buy you a grass sack. He did not buy you some poor little something. He bought you fine linen, clean and white. Praise God. She shall be brought unto the king in raiment. Oh, you imagine as he sits on the throne, all the hosts are gathered together, and all of a sudden he gives the nod or whatever more, and the angels go to escorting the queen in. Here they come, millions strong, as they throng, oh, glory be to God, as they throng around that blessed throne of our Lord. The virgins, her companions that follow her, shall be brought unto thee. With gladness and rejoicing shall they be brought. They shall enter into the king's palace. Instead of thy father shall be thy children, whom thou mayest make princes in all the earth. Now watch on what the king is going to do. He's going to delegate authority, thrones and dominions, and they're going to be subjugated to the king himself, and these people on the outside will be subject unto these appointed princes. Notice verse 17. I will make thy name to be remembered in all generations. Therefore shall the people praise thee forever and ever. Now remember, the Gentile kings will be on the outside. The Israel will have a place of supremacy in national affairs. But the bride is over all of that. We're not going to rule and reign over each other. I'm not going to rule over you. We're going to be together ruling. I'm not going to be ruling over Paul, or Paul ruling over us, me ruling over Peter, Peter ruling over me. We're ruling together. Praise God. Now watch Psalm 46. Now this is the Messiah's victory. To the chief musician for the sons of Korah, a song upon Alamos. God is our refuge and strength, a very present help in trouble. I don't mind telling you, I use this psalm a lot in my life right now. Therefore, we will not fear. Now, notice where we go after verse 1. We go into the earth in a state of chaos. Therefore, we will not fear, though the earth be removed, and though the mountains be carried into the midst of the sea. Something is going on. Something, some type of cataclysmic change. Oh, glory to God. What is it? We're fixing to head into the millennium. As they point, now you know what they would do. Prophets would stand here and point forward, then they'd come back and go, maybe sometimes even farther back than what they did initially, and point forward, and they'd go back. This is God's way of doing it. So here he's setting them out and showing them, look, there is a time when God will absolutely bring the earth into such an utter state of chaos. But don't worry, he's done it before. Every time he's done it, he's always brought it out better. Amen. Amen. Notice, though the waters thereof roar and be troubled, though the mountains shake with the swelling thereof, Selah, the mountains are shaking, the waters are roaring, oh, there's such havoc going on the earth. What is it prior to the millennium? End of the tribulation period. Praise be to God. Oh, my. Listen to this. There is a river, the streams whereof shall make glad the city of God, the holy place of the tabernacles of the Most High. What is the millennium feast of tabernacles? Out from under the city, out from under the throne, will come this river, which will divide two ways. One go toward the Mediterranean, one toward the Dead Sea, and the Dead Sea will be healed. There is a river. What follows the destruction? A river. What follows heartache and trouble? A river. What follows, amen, the mountain shaking and quaking? A river. Notice verse 5. God is in the midst of her. She shall not be moved. God shall help her. And that right early. Now, he may not come when you want him to, but he'll always be on time, and on time is right early. Now, you may think it's late, but it ain't late. It's right early. Amen. The heathen raged. The kingdoms were moved. What? Armageddon. The end of the tribulation. The kingdoms were moved. He uttered his voice. The earth melted. But the Lord of hosts is with us. Amen. The God of Jacob is our refuge. Selah. Amen. Come, behold the works of the Lord. What desolations he hath made in the earth. So Jerusalem, Judea, will be pushing up. The hills around it will be flattening. Part of the Mediterranean will disappear even before the eighth day. You see, you measure the city of Ezekiel. It will not fit the temple compound. It will not fit in the current landmass of Israel. So the Mediterranean needs to be scooted out. Aren't you glad God knows how to enlarge your borders? Amen. Praise be to God. It just won't fit where it is. There's no way. This is why a lot of people try to make the millennium spiritual. Because they say, well, that temple won't fit. They forgot we serve an ocean moving God. We serve a Mediterranean moving God. He could turn it into a pond that big if he wanted to. Why? Because he's God. Amen. Don't you love it when you get big and you're gross with God and your understanding and God begins to enlarge your boundaries a little bit? I think we get too settled down and too satisfied. Well, we believe the message and we believe God sent a prophet and we just go to church and go through our ritual. You need your boundaries enlarged. You need your boundaries expanded, my brother, sister. There is untapped resources in Christ Jesus we've never touched yet. Come, behold the works of the Lord. What desolations he hath made in the earth. He maketh wars to cease unto the end of the earth. David couldn't do this. Solomon couldn't do it. Ahab couldn't do it. There ain't never been a king that could ever make war stop like our king. He breaketh the bow and cutteth the spear in sunder. He burneth the chariot in the fire. Oh, and then he says, be still and know that I am God. I will be exalted among the heathen in the millennium. Now we're talking about the earth. We're talking about war being stopped. We're talking about the bow being broken, the air being broken. And right here in the middle of it, he says, I will be exalted. among the heathen. I will be exalted where? In heaven. And the whole time this is going on, Slewfoot is held down there in hell with a chain of circumstance for 1,000 years. Praise God. Notice verse 11. The Lord of hosts is with us. Literally. I mean, we will look around and say, that's the Lord. It won't be said, well, I believe God was in church tonight. I felt him a little bit when they were singing. I believe God was there. I really believe the Lord was there. You know, they say, well, I didn't feel nothing at all, but yet I believe he was there. Well, that day, you'll know he's there. Because you'll actually be able to see him sitting upon a throne. Praise God. Now, what's the 40 years of David's reign? Our Lord Jesus was so wonderful and so great that it's taken types and shadows from, oh my, from Genesis all the way down to Leviticus, all the way down to the whole Bible, and they've never been able to cover the expression of how great he is. But yet David and some of the types, Joseph and many of them, they would be able to type Christ so far. But he was so great and so wonderful that it took many, many types, many, many shadows, many things in order to be able to prescribe exactly or describe, rather, how great he was. So God used David in the 40 years of his reign to be able to display part of what our Lord Jesus was, in that he was a warrior and a conqueror. Amen. As David destroyed Goliath, so our Lord will destroy enemies. Praise God. David destroyed beasts. Lions. Bears. So our Lord, Revelation 13, 1, and I stood upon the sand of the sea and saw a beast rise up out of the sea, having 7 heads and 10 horns, and upon his horns 10 crowns, and upon his head the name of blasphemy. All right, David. All right, David. And the beast which I saw was like unto a leopard, and his feet was as the feet of a bear, and his mouth as the mouth of a lion. And the dragon gave him his power and his seat and great authority. So here is a power that rises up. Amen. In the tribulation period, that the Lord Jesus cannot take the millennium until this lion has been slain. Or this beast, or this dragon, or this false prophet, or this serpent, or whatever you want to call him, don't make no difference to Jesus. He can take them all on at once. Now, as the Davidic type, he was able to display he was a conqueror. But you don't need that in the millennium. You need it right up to the millennium. But you need another type in the millennium. Sholomay. Solomon. Notice Revelation 13:11. I beheld another beast coming up out of the earth. And he had 2 horns like a lamb and spake as a dragon. And he exerciseth all the power of the first beast before him. You don't need a Solomon to meet a beast power. You need a David. Praise the Lord. Sometimes in your life, God wants you to make peace and God wants you to take the lower roads, you know, and all that sort of thing. There's sometimes you got to look that devil right square in the face and say, you cross the line this time, bud. I'm giving you your last warning. This is do or die. You get out of here or you're meeting me as a son or daughter of God. Amen. You put this sickness on me. You're trying to take my son. You're trying to take my daughter. I'm warning you. You've crossed the line, Satan. I have a right. This is my property and you're not getting it. I don't care what you do. You're not getting it. Don't you understand? Jesus is already, through the kingdom of God and the baptism of the Holy Ghost, conquering devils. He's already conquered. Look at the things in your lives, children, and the lives of people just like you around the world. Alcohol, drugs, sex, music, all kinds of things have been put under the feet of the Lord Jesus by the baptism of the Holy Ghost living in saints' hearts. Amen. Notice verse 15, and he had power to give life unto the image of the beast, that the image of the beast should both speak and cause as many as would not worship the image of the beast should be killed. Revelation 19:21, the remnant were slain with the sword of him that sat upon the horse. So guess who comes out of heaven at the end of the tribulation period? David. And guess who he has with him? A bunch of little Davids. Glory to God. Notice Zechariah 14:2. For I will gather all nations against Jerusalem to battle. And the city shall be taken, and the houses rifled, and the women ravished, and half of the city shall go forth into captivity, and the residue of the people shall not be cut off from the city. Then shall the Lord. Notice capital L, capital O, capital R, capital D, which is Yahweh, Yahweh, or Jehovah. Capital L, small O, small R, small D is Adonai. This is not the manifestation of Adonai. This is Jehovah himself. He's got a score to settle. Now, I'll tell you one thing, friends. I don't like fights, but I don't mind telling you I'm looking forward to this one. I surely am. I'm going to be on the side of the Lord Jesus. Oh, you wait till we get to the Lord willing in the morning. Oh, my. I will gather. Notice who's doing the gathering. It ain't Russia. It ain't America. It's not Germany. God is the one that's causing them to come to Israel. Praise God. Oh, I can see him now, can't you? The head the size of a wash tub. Eyeballs about that big around. His spear the size of a weaver's needle. Big old long feet. Big old 18-inch hands. His armor weighed 245 pounds. And he tromps back and forth. All right, I want a man that'll fight me. Saul and all the rest of Israel shook in their boots until this young scrapper. Oh, hallelujah. I said, what in the world? Defy the armies of the living God. Saul said, man, I admire your courage, but you don't know how to fight a giant. You know what David done? I was keeping my father's sheep. Amen. When you face a trial, look, brother, sister, what was God doing? Everything he was facing, God was giving the power more stronger. When it come against David, now he's going to face a real giant. But David rehearsed and went back to previous victories. When you come across a battle that you've never been before, don't forget the faithfulness of your God. The God that delivered you from sin, cannot he save you? When distress comes your way, cannot he move for you? When all hell breaks against you, what do you do? You stand there and say, I remember. I remember a lion. I remember a bear. I remember this. I remember that. And this Philistine will die today. I can see him as he goes down through that little valley. And the Philistine laughed. Oh, Israel, is this the best you can do? It is. Glory be to God. Hallelujah. You believe what you want to believe. Oh, I know you say you're in your struggle with your things in life. And you say, Lord, what will I ever amount to one of these days? Them demons, them Gentiles in Armageddon, they'll look up there in heaven and there'll come the Lord Jesus. And there you'll be right in the middle of them. They'll say, Lord, have mercy. Lord, have mercy. Get me out of here. Who is it? It's them sons and daughters of God that overcome sin, overcome the devil in this life. You are not to be pushed around, friends. imagine Mrs. Stems up there. You little... I'll feed your flesh to the fowls of the air. But Jesus said to the beast of Revelation 13, David, you've put down your mark. You've put down your stamp. You've done this and that and the other. But today, me and my saints will slay you. David said, you come against me with a sword and a spear, but I come against you in the name of the Lord, God of Israel. Praise be to God. Now watch David's Adonai. Then shall the Lord go forth and fight against those nations as when he fought in the day of battle. Look, friends, if we're going to fight either way, let's make sure we're fighting on the right side. Are you going to fight to get to heaven? You are, but you're going to fight to go to hell. Every one of your children, every one of your loved ones fight over your prayers. They fight over my sermons. They fight over our tears. Many of them are fighting their way to hell. It's not easy to go to hell. So if you're going to fight one way or another, let's fight with him. And his feet shall stand in that day upon the Mount of Olives, which is before Jerusalem on the east. And the Mount of Olives shall cleave in the midst thereof toward the east and toward the west. And there shall be a very great valley. What's going on? He's fighting a war, but he's also reshaping the earth. I love it when he does two things at once. Praise be to God. Half of the mountain shall remove toward the north, half of it toward the south. You talking about a power of God. Notice Revelation 19:11. And I saw heaven open, and behold, a white horse. And he that sat upon him was called faithful and true. And in righteousness doth he judge and what? Make war. So Satan, you want to fight, do you? Come on. You imagine David standing there, the anointing, running up and down that boy's body. My goodness, probably made him felt like a dynamo. The Spirit of God anointing Brother Terry from the top of his head to the bottom of his feet. A strength from Adonai, a power from the presence of the Lord. You imagine little David said, come on, big boy. You want to fight? Come on. Come on now. Come on. They said, this guy's crazy. He's out of his mind. The rest of them said, Lord, have mercy. How would you hit somebody like that? How would you kill him? What in the world would you do? But the eyes of faith said, a target that big, how could you miss it? Glory be to God. And my Lord, look at them eyeballs. Look at them fingers. That means it's a bigger victory for God. Amen. I don't care what you're facing tonight. God is bigger than all of it. God's bigger than all of our struggles, all of our troubles, all of our things we're going through. Amen. His eyes were as a flame of fire, and on his head were many crowns. Uh-oh. There's been a marriage supper. His saints has done crowned him. They're heading to the honeymoon. He just got a little cleanup to take care of here first. You imagine a man now, he's been crowned with many crowns. He's got his bride that he's longed for since eternity. But there's just a little stuff that needs to be cleaned up. Just minor stuff. Mountains pushed up. Valleys brought up, seas changed, Mediterranean pushed back. Just minor stuff. Lord of mercy, I'm trying to be nice. On his head were many crowns, and he had a name written that no man knew but he himself. He was clothed with a vesture dipped in blood, and his name is called the Word of God. So you imagine we're getting up from this banquet now. We've been up here for 3.5 years eating, fellowshipping, you know, whatever it is we're going to do in the marriage supper of the Lamb. They said, now children, there's only one thing left for us to do before we take over. The honeymoon. There's just a wee bit of stuff that we need to take care of. few million people need to be killed. Devil needs to be bound. Y'all ready? We say, ready. You imagine Brother Philip will stand up and say, ready, Lord. Brother Wayne will stand up and say, we're ready. Y'all want to stay here? No, sir. We're on the cleanup crew. We've been waiting all of our life for this, Lord. We remember when it was preached. We read it in the Bible. We knew it was coming. You mean it's here? It's here. All we got to do is go down there and wipe out a few million people or whatever it is. And you're going to stand back and watch me as I may move upon the earth. And our honeymoon is fixing to start. Y'all want to go? We want to go. Y'all ready? We're ready. Are you ready now? We're ready now. Let's go, Lord. Let's go. Let's take over. Oh, hallelujah. He was clothed with a vesture dipped in blood, and his name is called the Word of God. And the armies which were in heaven. You fighting, bride? What a change. We get up from the marriage supper. We've taken communion. I mean, we just get up and everybody's just loving. And we're just, oh, hallelujah, hallelujah. Ready? Ready. Praise God. I stood there in that valley not long ago. So I was up in the cave area where Elijah was. For those of you that don't know the topography and the geography of Israel, when Elijah was in the cave, the Jezreel Valley is right down the face. You come down this, right out like this, Megiddo. As far as you can see to the left, as far as you can see to the right, and from miles and miles and miles in front of you. And you're right up on top of the mountain there where Elijah called fire down out of heaven. Praise God. So, y'all ready? Get your horse. We going for a tour in the park? The tour will come after we get the park cleaned up. Won't take long. I promise you, it won't take long at all. As a matter of fact, when many of these people see us coming, many of them will no doubt die with heart attacks. And the armies of heaven, and the armies which were in heaven followed him upon white horses, clothed in fine linen, white and clean. Under what anointing is this? Brother Keith, under what is this? David, Harry. David. What's David doing? Coming to take Jerusalem from the Jebusites. Amen. That's right. After Wednesday night, I'm trying to be nice tonight, but I'm not sure how much longer I'm going to be able to contain this. Lord have mercy, children. Can you imagine? Here he comes. And out of his mouth goeth a sharp sword, and with it he should smite the nations, and he shall rule them with a rod of iron. And he treadeth the winepress of the fierceness and the wrath of Almighty God. And he hath on his vesture and on his thigh a name written, King of and Lord of Lords. Look out, devil. Solomon was the third king of Israel. Saul, David, and Solomon, all three were allowed to reign 40 years. It was the typical reign with the full blessing of God. David could not type Christ going into the millennium. No. But Solomon could. David falls short of this type. Because David was a man of war. So you ever sitting at the honeymoon and we're just the marriage supper and everything, we're just all sitting and we see this look on his face that, you all ready? What, more communion rounds? No, to fight. I mean, I've heard of a few weddings like that before, but I never thought I'd ever be in one. Actually, I've seen a few at the church that way that almost wound up in a fight. And it wasn't the in-laws either, it's the people who just got married. Now what? Solomon in the Hebrew is called, hopefully I can pronounce this right, Solomon is called Ish-Manucha. Ish-Manucha. A man of rest. David is called Ish-Melkehamos. Ish-Melkehamos. A man of wars. Praise God. Now David, as the vice regent, may have to handle a few things in the millennium, but no doubt it won't be major. Notice in 1 Chronicles 22:9, God speaking to David about Solomon. Behold, a son shall be born to thee, who shall be a man of rest, and I will give him rest. Okay, so he's born a man of rest, and God will compound that by giving him rest from all his enemies round about, for his name shall be Solomon, Shalom. Notice now, which means peace. And I will give peace and quietness unto Israel in his days. And he shall build a house for my name. And he shall be my son. And I will be his father. And I will establish the throne of his kingdom over Israel forever. Now watch the prophetic switch. See, it seems as if though all of this is about Solomon. But Solomon's throne never endured forever. Neither did his name as king endure forever. Now what's in 1 Kings 4:24? For he had dominion, speaking of Solomon, over all the region of this side of the river, from Tiphesh even unto Asa, over all the kings on this side of the river, and had peace on all sides round about him. And Judah and Israel dwelt safely, every man under his vine and under his fig tree, from Dan even to Beersheba, all the days of Solomon. Wonder what happened to all their tempers. It's just like I'd get mad and say, I'm fixing to just hit Jim Babb right smack in the mouth. He's got that little funny look on his face. He's had that all night while I've been preaching. I think I'd just go over and just wring his jaws. But then they just look over at Jim Babb and say, how you doing, Brother Jim? God bless you, buddy. Love you. I say, boy, I lost my temper bad. Really? I had a bad thought. Lord, I about went beside myself. You imagine? There was just peace everywhere. And that peace flooded over to the kings that was on the outside of the city. Why? Because God said it would be. All the temper devils, you imagine? All the temper devils took a 40-year leave. Extreme anger. And all this sort of thing. I mean, there was just peace. There was just peace and peace and more peace. Oh, did they have issues? Did they have problems? Yes, they had troubles and things among them. But the predominant factor was what? Not the troubles. The predominant factor was peace. Why? The man's name who was the king was peace. So if Solomon would be able to subdue Israel with just the power of his name and the power of a promised word, what about the Prince of Peace himself? Can I have a few more minutes? Notice at Solomon's birth, 2 Samuel 12:24, and David comforted Bathsheba his wife and went into her and lay with her, and she bare a son, and he called his name Solomon, and the Lord loved him. Wow. Isn't it strange that God says this just about one person? Doesn't God love everybody? He does. But he loved this man with a different degree of love. And the Lord loved him. And he sent by the hand of Nathan the prophet and called his name Jedidiah. Now we say J because of the English language. Actually, it's the Y, which is Jehovah. It's Yadadawa, beloved of Jehovah.
Amen.
Beloved of Jehovah. This is my son in whom I'm pleased to dwell. Now notice, he couldn't say this about Solomon. But Solomon was a beloved son among other sons. But this was the beloved son. Praise God. What is the Lord Jesus? The beloved. Well, come on now. He ain't the only son God's got. Let's read a few more verses now. Let's go to the coronation. Psalm 47. Israel invites the nations to rejoice in the universal kingship of their God. Finally, the earth is his. The nations are subdued. Israel is in a place of supremacy. To the chief musician, a psalm for the sons of Korah. Pentecostals. Wow. They wouldn't message people. They'd have just nodded their heads. A psalm to the sons of the message people.
Glory be to God.
Notice the coronation psalm. Oh, clap your hands, all ye people. Shout unto God with the voice of triumph. Why? Their king has just stepped upon the throne. And they are clapping. You imagine millions on the face of the earth as they are clapping and they are shouting.
Glory be to God.
For the Lord Most High is terrible. He is a great king over all.
Praise be to God. The millennium is set in.
He shall subdue the people under us and the nations under our feet. He shall choose our inheritance for us, the excellency of Jacob, whom he loves, Selah. God is gone up with a shout.
1 Thessalonians 4:16. For the Lord himself shall descend from heaven with a shout.
God has gone up with a shout. The Lord with the sound of a trumpet. Sing praises to God. Sing praises. Sing praises unto our King. Sing praises.
Singing's important, ain't it?
Well, praise God. Those of you that don't like to hang around after the word is over and sing praises to God, you don't know what you're missing. Sing praises to God. Sing praises. Sing praises unto our God. Sing praises. Reckon he meant for us to sing praises? For God is the King of all.
Now, I know they're saying we might get a little bit of snow. Hopefully, we can pray that north of us. We'll be able to resume in the morning. So, if you want to read a little bit ahead of time, if you want to, you can read Psalms 47, Psalms 48, Psalms 67, Psalms 72, Psalms 110. Oh, praise God.
Praise God. I'm going to go ahead and read a couple more verses because y'all don't seem like you're done anyway. So, Brother Daniel, Psalms 47:8. Notice where we are. For God reigneth over the heathen. God sitteth upon the throne of his holiness. The princes of the people are gathered together, even the people of the God of Abraham. For the shields of the earth belong to God, for he is greatly exalted. Now David is speaking in the terms of a king who would go in and conquer a city or an army, and he would take the shields and the bucklers and the swords and the spears of the great men, and he would take them to his personal armory and put them there on display. Now in the millennium, the Lord Jesus has an entire armory. Every nation has been conquered. I don't mind telling you, I want him to have mine right now. I want him to have my heart, my will, everything, don't you? Just let him take it, put it up in his armory, and say, here's another conquered son, another conquered daughter. Praise God. Praise God. Sing praises to God. Sing praises. Sing praises unto our King. Sing praises. Praise God. Praise God. Why? They always sing and make loud noises at the coronation of a king. Is there anyone here who can refute his claim to this crown? So the call could be made to hell. Is there any demon? Is there any sickness? Is there any power who can show just cause why he should not be crowned King of Kings? Tuberculosis will have to slap its mouth and it's hush. Cancer will have to say, I can't say nothing. Amen. Brother Darrell told me the other day of a brother down, he was going to have a meeting several years ago down in South America, Mexico one. The brother had the office case of shingles ever was. Oh, he was so sad because he couldn't come to the meetings. He stood in front of the mirror just crying, wanted to get ready, trying to get ready. God, please let me get ready to go to church. But the shingles all over his face and covering him in such pain. He said, God, I want to go to church so bad. Amen. He said he stood right there and watched them shingles scab over on his face and fall off in the sink. That's my God. That's my King. What about some of you that used to be bound with drugs and alcohol and all kinds of things of the world, but you ain't bound no more? Why? Because the King conquered your heart, conquered your will. Praise be to God. We've got a baptism tonight. Brother John, sister here. Let's sing something together. Hey, Brother Louis there. Have y'all got that? Oh, praise God. I think in light of what we've read tonight that we need to sing praises to God. Sing praises. Sing praises. Sing praises unto our God. Sing praises. It must really mean a lot to him. It must mean so much to him when his children sing psalms of praise and adoration and love and worship, especially when you don't feel like it. It ain't hard to sing, boy, when you're anointed, Lord, it's all over you everywhere. But when you don't feel one thing and you sing it with all your heart, oh, how it must make his heart feel, Brother Wes. Let's sing a little, brothers, can't we? Hallelujah. Praise him. Oh.
She's been coming to the church for a while. I think she come at first to see her grandbabies. She got a little bit more than just get to see her grandbabies. The Lord been dealing with her. She had been working with her on her for a long time, and brother, I had Brother Wes come out, and I could see her knuckles on the pews in the back. She just wanted to give her heart to the Lord, and just want to thank the Lord. Amen. Don't forget us down in Limestone.
Yes, sir.
Lord still moves.
Amen.
He's still saving.
Amen.
Amen. He's still on the scene. Will you pray with me? Lord Jesus, you see Sister Diane, Lord Jesus, standing in this watery grave, Lord. And how you've dealt with her heart, Lord Jesus. You're still on the throne, Lord. Oh, Father God, how great you are, Lord Jesus. Can still take a life, Lord, and change it and deal with hearts, Lord Jesus. We're just so thankful for it, Lord. Father God, Lord, when it seems like the world can't get any darker, Lord, you send down a little bit of light, Lord Jesus, and you send it, Lord, and you pull on another heart, Lord, and you still say that you have grace and your mercy and you love us, Lord, and you're still on the throne, Father. Gives us hope for our loved ones, our children, Lord Jesus. We're so thankful for it, Lord. We pray, Lord Jesus, as we bury our sister, Lord, that you would just complete the word in our heart, Lord Jesus. The word says that they should repent, be baptized in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, and you would fill them with the Holy Ghost, Lord.
Amen.
Lord, it's not complicated. It's not hard to do. It's your word. That's, you're the one who's responsible for it, Lord. She's following up to the repenting, and she's getting baptized in the name in your name, Father. So, Lord, I pray you finish the work, Lord. May she have that personal relationship with you, Lord Jesus, and grow in you daily. Father, we love you. We thank you for it. In the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Sister Diane, I will baptize you in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ.
Yes,
Lord. Hallelujah.
Hallelujah. Will Jesus getting us ready for that great day? Oh, Jesus getting us ready for that great day. Jesus getting us ready for that great day. Tell me who shall be able to stand. Oh, Jesus getting us ready for that great day. Jesus getting us ready for that great day. Oh, Jesus getting us ready for that great day. Who shall stand. The fire will fall from heaven on that great day. The fire will fall from heaven on that great day. The fire will fall from heaven on that great day. Tell me who shall be able to stand.
We will, by the grace of God.
Oh, Jesus, getting us ready for ready for that great day. Jesus getting us ready for that great day. Tell me who shall be able to stand. Oh, praise be to God. Praise be to God.
Clap your hands. Come on, let's have a little practice, can we? Imagine what it'll be with millions strong. We'll gather around the throne and we'll clap our glorified hands. Glory be to God. We'll shout praises to the King. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Oh, hallelujah. Hallelujah to the Lamb of God. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Oh, praise be to God. Praise be to God. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Hallelujah, hallelujah. Remember, friends, the messianic mediatorial reign must come down from the cross
down through the church ages, getting together the 144,000, even merge over into the millennium, until his enemies have been made his footstool. Then when the last enemy, which is death, should be subjected unto Adonai, then he will turn the kingdom over to that great spirit God. And he will sit on the throne as our Joseph, future home. He will sit on the throne as our Joseph, and the Father will be that light that will be around him. That God may be all in all. The messianic mediatorial phase of his dispensation will be completed. There'll be folks even giving their heart to God, as we would say, in the millennium. Don't think that the Lamb is done. My goodness, it goes right on out through. Praise be to God. Don't you love him? Oh, don't you appreciate him moving on your heart and moving the darkness back away from your life, nudging you to help you, to help you to say yes. Oh, go ahead and take credit for it if you need it, you Armenians. But one of these days you'll look back and realize you had nothing to do with it. You just simply obeyed the presence of God that moved upon your heart. Oh, praise the Lord. Let's pray together. Father, we know in your mind before the world began, you slayed the Lamb. The Lamb was slain from the foundation of the world. That's because you saw the world lost. You saw us lost. Lost in Adam, but not lost in Christ. We could not have been lost in Adonai, but we could only be lost in a son who was placed temporarily in a Garden of Eden. Given authority, given kingship, but placed there knowing, Father, he would forfeit it. So we, when we come to this earth then, we were born lost. Oh my, a sheep out on a hill in the wilderness. A coin hid under the dirt. Yet way down in there was a little bit of representation. An image of the King stamped on the foreknowledge of God. Praise God. We were only lost in the loop that fell out of the big circle of eternity, in the loop of time. But one day that loop, when the blood has run its course all the way to the end, the loop itself will be jerked as it was back up into the circle. And the loop will disappear. And it'll be right back into eternity again. Before you ever made Lucifer, you knew what he would be. You knew he would fall. You knew he would sin. Oh God, we love you so much. We love you with all of our hearts, Lord Jesus. Even now, God, as we stand here tonight and our soul's been quickened by the Holy Ghost, still in one sense of the word, our bodies are still lost from eternity because disease, sickness, affliction. As we look around and we see one another with gray hair and wrinkles and glasses and contacts and limps and this and that and the other. But it's, again, it's only lost in Adam. Praise God. When you raise from the dead, it was a sign all of your children are going to raise young, revitalized, as the dew that comes from Hermon. Glory be to God when them people there at Armageddon look up into the heavens and they see these armies. Blessed be the Lord God. They'll see band after band after band of Benaniah. Young men and women, which will never age a minute. Their vitality will be as fresh as the dew from heaven. Praise God. It won't be but a few moments, and the King will gather the nations together, and He'll clean it up, and the honeymoon will set in. Hasten the day, Lord Jesus. Hasten the day, Lord Jesus. Go with us, Father. Lord, you see, they're saying we might get some weather. I pray if we could find favor in your sight tonight, Lord. Let it go above us, dear God. We'd love to be able to have church again in the morning, Lord. You know how it is with us, Lord Jesus. Church just ain't a pastime. It ain't a hobby. It's our life. We love it. We love it, Lord. Go with us now, Father, I pray. Bring us back in the morning if it be pleasing to you, Father. Praise be to God. Thank you, Lord. Peace in the valley. Brother Louis, let's sing this together before we go. You happy to be in the house of the Lord? Why don't you turn around and shake hands with somebody and greet them. God bless you, brother, sister. I want to meet you. Turn around and shake hands with somebody. Tell them I want to meet you there that day. Amen. The bear will be gentle, and the wolf will be tame, and the lion shall lay down by the lamb. Oh yes, will the beast from the wild will be led by a child. I'll be changed from this creature that I am. Everybody now. Oh, there will be peace in the valley for me someday.
Yeah. valley. Oh,